have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Isaiah. I would like to read from Isaiah chapter 65. I encourage you to look in God's Word as we try to read and study from several different passages of Scripture. The main thought this morning that's on my heart is about the blessing that we have of beholding the Lord, of seeing God. There are a lot of different ways that we can see the Lord. And I pray that God will help us this day as we look into His Word, that we'll see God in His Holy Word. We'll see Him as He is, that we'll see Him high and lifted up. There are a lot of different visions that we get. And I don't mean vision by imaginations, but there are a lot of different descriptions that the Word of God gives us about God. And so we see Him in a lot of different aspects. One of the songs that we sang, in fact, several of the songs that we sang talked about seeing the Lord, beholding the Lord, looking at God. One of the songs, and I didn't ask that any of these songs be sung, it was just the leadership of the Holy Spirit, but one of the songs was, "Be Thou My Vision." That is, instead of looking at the things of this world, look at the Lord. It's amazing how one of the songs that we sometimes sing says something like, I've lost the words, but it's something like that, "When I behold the Lord," turn your eyes, that's it, "turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim." When you're looking at the Lord and you're looking at the beauty of the Lord, the things of this world lose their luster. And so I encourage you to think about what God is telling us this day about the importance of us looking to God and looking at God. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study, I would ask that you please to join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. We look to Thee this day because we have no other help that we can depend on. You're the one true and living God who is all-powerful and all-wise. We can't worship Thee. We can't study Thy Word. We can't see Thee unless You will reveal Yourself to us. And so we pray this day as we look into the Word of God that You would help us to see the beauty of the Lord in Your Word, and that as we go about our daily lives, that we would see the Lord every day, and that we would set our affection on things above rather than on things of the earth. We pray that we would see You in all the different glories and aspects that we can see You. Lord, we think about what a friend we have in Jesus. Help us to see You as our friend. Help us to see and know that You're all the world. Jesus is all the world to me. Now I pray, Lord, that You would help every person here today. We know that every person has their own particular burdens and problems and needs, and I know that You know the needs of each person here, and I pray that You'll bless each individual and each family, not according to what we deserve, but according to Thy mercy and Thy grace. We pray that You would look down upon us and that You would help us and bless us, that You would help every child of God here, that we would live closer to You and closer to each other. We pray that You would help us to set our priorities straight, that we would love Thee with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we would love our neighbor as ourselves. Help us as husbands to love our wives. Help us to love our children. Help us as families, Lord, to be bound together in Thy Holy Spirit. We pray that You would help all those on their various jobs, that You would be with them and help them and bless them on their jobs, that they would do a good job every day. We ask You to bless our nation and have mercy upon us. Guide and direct those that make decisions. We pray that we might be led back to the righteous principles upon which our nation was founded. We pray that You would intervene in the minds and hearts of those that are in authority over us, that You would turn them back to You. And Lord, not only them, but us. Turn all of our hearts in such a way that we would see Thee every day before us. Bless us now as we try to study Thy holy word. Thank You for those that have been sick, that are doing better, and continue to bless all the others who stand in special need of Thy help. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, our elder brother, the King of kings and Lord of lords, in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
We'd like to read now from Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65. As you look toward the end of the book of Isaiah, the last five or six chapters are dealing with the prophecy that Isaiah had about the coming of Jesus Christ and about the establishment of His church and about the destruction of the old Jerusalem and the establishment of the new Jerusalem. So if you were to go home and read Isaiah chapter 60 through 66, you would find a lot of prophecy about the coming of Christ, the establishment of His church, the establishment of the new Jerusalem after the old Jerusalem was destroyed. Isaiah chapter 65, now please listen to verse 1. God says, and He's speaking to His people Israel, He says, I am sought of them that ask not for Me, I am found of them that sought Me not. I said, behold Me, behold Me, unto a nation that was not called by My name. Now what did God say here? He says, God said, behold Me, behold Me, unto a nation that was not called by My name. What is that nation that was not called by His name? What is Isaiah prophesying that God said, I said, behold Me, unto a nation that was not called by My name. What is that nation that He has under consideration? Not Jerusalem. The Gentiles. If you read the next several verses, He says that He's going to break the Gentiles off. The Jews have turned their backs on God, and God says, I'm going to begin to bring up and raise up a nation that will love Me and that will serve Me. And so it is that the Jews were broken off and the Gentiles were grafted back in. And this is Isaiah saying that there was going to come a day when God would say, I'm saying, behold Me, behold Me. And that's what God is saying to us. That's a command from God. God commands us to behold Him, to look at God, to see Him. It is God's command that we behold Him. And it is for our good that we behold Him. Because as we behold the Lord, as we mentioned a while ago, the things of this world grow strangely dim. It's only when we don't see the Lord, it's when we can't find the Lord, it's really when we have removed ourselves from fellowship with God, then we begin to look for something beautiful and we look all around us and we spend our time searching for what we cannot find in the things of this world. The things of this world will never satisfy God's children. If you're a child of God this day, you'll find that if you don't have the Lord in your life, if you don't feel the Lord in your life, if you don't see the Lord, then everything else you run after, everything else you try to find pleasure in, you'll never be satisfied until you go back unto the Lord and see the Lord. Because once you have seen the beauty of the Lord, there is no other beauty that compares to the beauty of God. Now, go with me to the New Testament just a moment. Turn in your Bibles to the book of John, John chapter 12. This is a fulfillment of the prophecy that was made in Isaiah chapter 65, where there were going to be Gentiles that would respond to the call of God. Now, what was the call? I want you, as we go through and look at God, as we go through and behold the Lord in a number of different passages of Scripture in the New Testament, I want you to remember that God had prophesied back there in Isaiah 65:1. He had prophesied, I'm going to say, what are the two words that God says that he was going to say to that nation. I'm going to say what? Behold what? Behold me. Behold me. God says, look at me. Behold me. Fix your eyes. That's another song that we sometimes sing. We need to fix our eyes on the Lord. I'm talking about our spiritual eyes. You can't see God with your natural eye. Listen, brethren, through the eye of faith, you can see the Lord. Can you see the Lord in nature sometimes? Can you? I'm not talking about just seeing a pretty flower. I'm talking about, can you see the hand of God in creating those things? The psalmist David says, when I look up at the heavens, I consider the work of God in forming and creating this world. Can you see the Lord as you look all around you? Can you see the Lord sometimes in the lives and in the faces of His children? Have you ever looked at little children and seen the Lord in those children? Have you ever looked at elderly people and seen the Lord in them? Did you know that it doesn't matter the age of a person, doesn't matter how small or how old or in between, you whenever you see somebody that Christ is dwelling in them, you can see the Lord in those people. Have you ever seen the Lord in somebody's face? You ever seen the Lord? Are there a lot of different ways you can see the Lord? Have you ever seen the Lord working? Have you ever seen things happening and you knew it was God that was guiding and directing? You knew it was the hand of the Lord. You could see the Lord in events that take place sometimes. And you can say, I know the Lord was working right there. Have you ever seen the Lord working all around you? Have you ever known that God was doing things and revealing Himself? I want you to remember that now. That God must reveal Himself to you or you'll never see Him in anything around you. You cannot see Christ unless God reveals Himself to you. You can't see the Father unless the Father reveals Himself to you. And God will reveal Himself to His children. When they seek Him, He will be found of them. You remember how God's Word says, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall what? Seek and ye shall find. Can you find the Lord? Can you see the Lord in all the activities that go on around you? If you are seeking the Lord, you'll be able to see God all around you. And do you know what happens when you begin to see the Lord and you begin to do what God commanded back there in Isaiah 65:1 when God said, behold me, behold me. You know what happens when you see the Lord? What do you want to do when you see the Lord? Somebody tell me what you want to do when you see the Lord. You want to worship Him. You want to love Him. That's exactly right. You want to praise God. You want to do what's right. You want to live the right way. If you don't want to live the right way, it's because you don't see the Lord. If it's not a primary goal and objective in your life to really please God, it's because you just don't see the Lord. Because if you see the Lord, if you behold the Lord, you'll want to worship Him. And as this dear sister said, you'll want to love Him. You'll want to please Him. Can you please God? Can you really please God? Can you do things in your life that would please the Lord? Are there things right now in your life that you know that you need to do in order to please the Lord? And if you do those things, did you know that God will be pleased with your life? By yourself, you can't please the Lord. If you don't ask God for the strength and grace, you see, if you don't look to the Lord for the strength and grace you need, you can't please the Lord. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And all men have not faith. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do you know what the reward is if you diligently seek the Lord? You know what the reward is? Oh, you'll be rich, you see. You'll get you a house. You'll get you a car. You'll get everything you want if you just seek the Lord. That's a lie from the devil. Did you know that? That's a lie from the devil. That's the kind of theology that distorts the minds of God's people. They think, oh, if you just give your money to the Lord and you seek the Lord, then you can be rich. You will be rich if you seek the Lord, but you won't necessarily be rich in a material way. But you'll be rich spiritually if you seek the Lord. You'll be able to see the Lord. I ask the question, The Scripture says there, he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What does He reward us with when we diligently seek Him? He is, the Scripture says, that God is our exceeding and great reward. You seek Him, you'll find Him. You'll behold Him. You'll see Him high and lifted up. You know what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6? He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw the beauty of God. He saw the glory of God. He saw the majesty of God. He saw the power of God. And when he saw how great God was, what did he say about himself? He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. You know what will happen every time somebody sees the Lord? They'll fall on their face and say, I'm an unclean person. I'm a sinner. And you know what God will then do? When you see the Lord, you fall on your face and you confess your sin and you truly repent of your sin, you know what the Lord will do? He'll forgive you. That's exactly right. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What did that father do? When the prodigal son came back home and the prodigal son saw his father and the father saw the son, who does that father represent there, by the way? Our Heavenly Father. And sometimes we stray from our father's house, just like that prodigal son strayed from his father's house. Did he fail to value seeing his father? Did he stop appreciating the privilege of seeing his father? Did he not want to see his father anymore? He wanted to get away from his father. He wanted to go out there and he wasted his father's goods and riotous living. But you know, when he began to come back home, when he came to himself down there in the hog pen, he said, I'm going to go back to my father. And he went back to his father's house. And when he saw the father and the father saw him, the father ran and greeted him. I'll tell you, the father never went to the son as long as he stayed in the hog pen. But when he came back home and the son saw the father and the father saw the son, they greeted each other and the father said, bring here the best robe, kill the fatted calf. And he put a ring on his finger and he lifted him up. And I'm telling you, there was great rejoicing that day. The father rejoiced and his servants rejoiced. Everybody except that old rotten brother that was so jealous of his brother. Listen, brethren, when you see the Lord, you'll say what that son did. Father, I'm no more worthy to be called your son. I don't deserve. Did you know there's not a person in this building that deserves to be a child of God? Not a one of us. Not a one of us. You can take the best dear saint. I remember one time in Atlanta, the first year that I was preaching a meeting up there, and I remember making a statement that we're all sinners. There's none good. No, not one. That we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. My brother-in-law, who was an attorney there and at that time was not real close to God, and he said, Brother Billy, I just don't believe you, sister, and you name one of the dear old saints. I don't believe she's a sinner. I said, well, you ask her. You ask her. You know, the people that live the closest to God, they know they're sinners. They ask for forgiveness. They return to the Father and say, Father, forgive me. I've sinned against heaven, and in thy sight I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And that son repented and returned home, and he saw his father, and the father rejoiced in him, and he rejoiced in the father. But what does God say back there in Isaiah 65:1? What does he say? Behold me! Behold me! It's a command from God. Look at me! Look at me! Don't look at men. Don't look at women. Look at the Lord. Okay, look at John chapter 12. I'll get to that later. John chapter 12. Come down to verse 20 and 21. Here we now have a fulfillment of that back there in Isaiah 65:1, where the Gentiles were going to seek the Lord and want to see the Lord. In John chapter 12, listen to verse 20. 20 and 21, the Word of God says that there were certain Greeks. Were the Greeks Jews or Gentiles? Gentiles. What did God say back there in Isaiah 65:1? There was going to be a people that were not a nation, a people that was not called by my name. And they're going to seek my face, and I'm going to say to them, behold me, look at me. I'm going to reveal myself to a people that were not a nation. And so these Greeks come. The Scripture says in John 12, verse 20, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, listen to what they said, sir, we would see Jesus. We didn't come to see you, Philip. We didn't come to see anybody else. We came to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. And did you know that every time you come to the house of God, do you know who you ought to want to see more than anybody else? I look forward to seeing everybody here. I look forward to seeing you. I'm glad when you're here. And I'm telling you, there's somebody more important than you that's in the house of God this day. There's somebody more important than me. There's somebody more important than all of us put together. And there's somebody you ought to want to see more than you want to see anybody else here. When you come to the Father's house, you know who you want to see? You know who you ought to see? You know who you ought to come saying, sir, we would see, we would see. I want to see Jesus. Just show me Jesus. Just show me Jesus. That's who I want to see, is Jesus. Because when I see Jesus, everything is good. Everything is all right. In the midst of all the turmoil our nation is in right now, it doesn't matter, brethren, if the value of the dollar goes to zero. If I can see Jesus, I'm all right. Did you know that? Doesn't matter what else happens in this nation, I have a king. Do you know what I'm talking about? It doesn't matter who's in the White House. Doesn't matter who's in Congress. I've got a king that's over all of them. And therefore, I'm not all frustrated about who's in the White House or who's in Congress. I know I have a king that's superior to them. Now, if my confidence is in Washington, D.C., or my confidence is in the government, or my dependence is on them, then I've got every reason in the world to worry. But if I see I've got a king, if I see my king that's above all of that, you know what happens to my soul? It's secure. My soul's calm. I don't worry when I see Jesus. Behold who? Behold, what did God say back there in Isaiah 65:1? Behold me, behold me. Now listen, the first thing I want you to do is remember, we want to see Jesus. But as we look at Jesus, as we see Jesus, did you know that you're also going to see your King? Jesus is your King. If you see Jesus as He really is, you're going to see Jesus as your King. Look at this same chapter, John 12, when these men came to see Jesus. I want you to back up to John 12, verse 14 and 15. John 12, verses 14 and 15. The Word of God says, and Jesus, when He had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written. This was a prophecy from the Old Testament of Zechariah. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. Now, Jesus got on this little ass's colt and was riding into Jerusalem. And as He was riding in, the Scripture says here, this was a fulfillment of the prophecy. Behold what? It's behold me, but the specific wording in John 12, 15 is what? Behold thy King. That's the first thing. One of the things I want you to remember is you need to behold Jesus as your King. You need to see Him as your King. You need to see Him as your protector. You need to see Him as your provider. You need to see Him as the King of His kingdom. And if you dwell in His kingdom, it's only going to be because the King says, come in to the kingdom. The King will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Come into my kingdom. Why? Because you've seen the King and you obeyed the King and you followed the King. And let me say this right here. The King's laws are superior to any laws of this land. And it doesn't matter what the laws of this land ever say. If the laws of this land contradict the laws of the king, you better obey the laws of your king. The laws of my king, they trump anything else that this government ever says. They can tell me you can't say the name of Jesus. If I ever bow to any other master than Jesus Christ, if I ever bow to any other king than King Jesus, I'll be cast out of His kingdom. Likewise will you. You've got to see Jesus as your king. Do you see Jesus as your king this morning? How many of you see Jesus as your king? How many of you see Jesus as your king? All right, now if you, listen carefully. If you see Jesus as your king, do you know what you just said? I'm going to do what my king says. That's what you said when you said, I see Jesus as my king. You said, I'm going to do what my king says. I'm going to do what King Jesus says. I'm going to follow King Jesus. I'm going to be a resident of His kingdom. And remember now, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is right now in this world. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is within you. The Word of God defines the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, as righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You cannot lose your salvation, but you can lose the joy of your salvation. Jesus will hide Himself from you, and you will not see Him as your King if you don't serve Him as your King and as your Master. So what does John 12:15 say? Behold what? John 12:15. What does it specifically say? Behold thy what? Behold thy King cometh. Isn't that wonderful? He comes. Thy King cometh. Now, John the Baptist, when John the Baptist began preaching, did he say, behold, what did Isaiah 65:1 say? What did Isaiah 65:1 say? Behold me! Behold me! Now, when John the Baptist began to preach in the wilderness of Judea, and as he began to preach, he said, behold! What does behold mean? Brother Kurt, do you know who I'm beholding right now? Okay. All right. With my spiritual eye, I'm beholding the Lord. Right now, my eyes are fixed on you. I'm beholding you. I'm looking at you. Everybody else is on the periphery. I can't, even though Caleb's right next to you, I can't see him very good. I'm looking at you. I'm focused on you. And when I'm focused on Jesus, when I am beholding the Lord, when I'm looking at Jesus, everything else is not very clear. Everybody follow that? You need to look at Jesus. Behold the King. See Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Do you know who took away your sin? It was Jesus. Look at Him. Look at the Lamb of God. Look at Him hanging on the cross of Calvary. Look at Jesus suffering for your sin. Look at His blood being shed for your sins and for mine as He hung on the cross of Calvary. You know who we can behold there? We can behold God. He wasn't just a man. He was God and man. And as Jesus was hanging on the cross of Calvary and shedding His blood, He was dying for my sins and for your sins. Behold. Do you need to look at the Lamb of God? What will it make you do when you behold the Lamb of God? It does two things for me. When I look at the Lamb of God hanging on the cross of Calvary, I rejoice because I know my sins are forgiven. I know that because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, my sins are paid for 100%. Every one of my sins is paid for, and I'll be in the eternal heaven one day because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. I need to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Do you need to behold the Lamb of God? And it will not. Say it again. You saw the Lord. Yeah. Amen. 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 Behold me. God says, behold me. Look at me. Look at me. Now, a lot of heads are looking up at me, but this is what God said. God said, look at me. Behold me. Look at me. Look at God. Listen, John chapter 5. Look at John chapter 5 just a minute. After he says in John 1, behold the Lamb which taketh away the sin of the world. Listen, here's somebody people don't like to behold. How many of you like to go see the judge? You got a notice in the paper, appear in court to see the judge. Says, Dawn, how are you going to feel? Scared. That's right, scared. But do you know, we need to see Jesus as the judge. Do you know who our judge is? It's Jesus Christ. And some people say, oh, well, he's gracious. I'm glad to go before him. Let me tell you something. I can go through the Scriptures and I can show you person after person that appeared before the judgment seat of Christ, and they realized they were in serious trouble and they felt the horrible judgments of God in their lives. It is, the Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews, New Testament now, the Scripture says, the Lord shall judge His people. Who did He save? Who did Jesus save? He saved His people from their sins. And now the Lord judges His people according to their works while they live here in this world. And the Scripture says in Hebrews 10:30, the Lord shall judge His people. And Hebrews 10:31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Do you need to behold the Lamb of God? Yes. But if all you behold is the Lamb of God, you haven't seen the whole picture. You need to behold the judge. Look now. Look in your Bibles at John chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The Word of God says in John 5, 22, Jesus is speaking. And Jesus says, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. How, listen, how do you honor the Son? How do you honor the Father? How do you honor them? How do you honor the Father and the Son? Okay, behold them. Let me just back it up a little, Brother David. How do your children honor you? That's it. Thank you. That was the answer I wanted, see? You honor your parents by doing what they say. You honor your father. You honor your king by doing what he says. If you want to be able to rejoice in the presence of God, you have to be doing what God says. Behold, who have we talked about beholding so far this morning? Behold God, yes, behold God. Behold Jesus. Behold the King. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Judge. How many of you would put the Judge as the last part of Jesus you'd want to see? Yeah, I'd rather behold the Lamb of God. But let me tell you something, brethren. There is more mention in the New Testament about Jesus as our judge than there is about Jesus as the Lamb of God. Because God knows the people of God need to see Jesus as our judge. May God help us to realize that Jesus is our judge and we need to see Him as our judge. Well, and another thing about Jesus, you know, I look at you and all y'all look real good to me, okay? All y'all look like good, fine Christians. But Jesus doesn't look on the outside like I do. You know what Jesus does? Brother Dennis, you look like a fine Christian man to me. But you know, and I might look like a good man to you, but I'll tell you what. My Lord looks right down into my heart. You know, you come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, that all looks good to me. But Jesus knows why you're here. He knows what's in your heart right now. He knows what's going on in your mind right now. Jesus searches out what's in your heart and your mind and your soul. Do you see Jesus looking at you? Do you see Jesus looking at you right now? You remember how Zacchaeus climbed that tree to see Jesus? And the scripture says, and that when Jesus passed by, Jesus saw Zacchaeus while Zacchaeus was looking at Jesus. Jesus is watching you. We used to sing the song, "There's an all-seeing eye watching you." Who is that? That's Jesus. That's God. Look at God. See God as He is. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Judge. Behold the King. Behold. How many more can you list? There are many, many more. Let me just mention one or two. Well, what about a friend? Is there a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? Isn't it a wonderful thing to see Jesus as your friend? Middle of the night, guess who is my best friend? When I'm crying about somebody that just won't follow God's Word, guess who's my friend right then? Yes, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's the answer to everything, isn't he? You need to see Jesus as your best friend. You need to see Jesus. I'm going to say, and I don't have time to get to this right now, but you need to see Jesus as your Father. Because Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." And Jesus said in John 14, if you've seen, you remember when they said, you remember what they said to Jesus in John 14? They said, "Jesus, show us the Father." You remember that? "Show us the Father." What did they want to do? They want to see the Father. And Jesus said, "Have I been so long with you and you don't know the Father?" He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Isn't it a wonderful thing to have a Father? Do you see God as your Father? Behold Him. God says, "Behold, look at me, look at me, look at me. I'm everything you need." Listen in closing. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12 just a minute. I tell you, we're going to stop at Hebrews chapter 4 because there's another aspect of God you need to see. Look carefully in your Bibles in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, we're talking about beholding God. We're talking about beholding the King, beholding the Lamb of God, beholding the Judge, beholding our Father, beholding our brother, beholding our friend. In Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, listen to verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Those of you that have turned there in your Bibles, what's the first word in Hebrews 4 and verse 14? What's the first word? Seeing. What is the command back there in Isaiah 65, 1? What's the first word of that command? Behold and see is the same thing. And now in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, the Word of God says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest." Who is your great high priest? Who is the great high priest? Who is your great high priest? Jesus, God. Jesus is your great high priest. Do you see Jesus as your great high priest? Isn't it a blessing to see Jesus as your great high priest? Did you know the only reason I can approach the throne of God is because I have Jesus as my great high priest? And when I see Jesus as my great high priest, when I behold Him, He is the only, Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. And He is my great high priest. And I go to the Father through my great high priest, Jesus. And so He says, "Seeing that we have a great high priest, Jesus, that is passed into the heavens, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need." Do you need help to live in this world? Do you need help to resist the devil? You need help. You go ahead and try to resist the devil like all you want to by yourself. You know what will happen every time you try to resist the devil by yourself? You know what will happen every time that you decide you're going to turn over a new leaf? You know what will happen every time that you try to do anything without God? Jesus says, "Without me ye can do nothing." Every time you try to resist the devil without God's help, you will fall flat on your face every time. You'll go right back to the old paths every time. You try to do anything without Jesus' help, you don't look to Jesus, if you don't lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help, if you don't go to your great high priest every morning, Oh, by the way, when do you need to see the Lord? See, the Scripture says, behold me. God said, behold me, look at me. I'm glad to see y'all look at me. When I say look at me, I'm not talking about looking at me. I'm talking about Jesus. God said, look at me. But the point is, God is saying, look at me. I wish that we responded to God like we respond. You know, when my daddy said, look at me. Well, Donald, your daddy is the same way as my daddy, basically. He said, look at me. What did you do? You better look at him. Your daddy is the same way as mine. Your daddy says, look at you. What are you going to do? You're going to look at him. That's right. Not going to tell, until he releases you, you're going to fix your eyes on him. Let me tell you something, brethren. We have a merciful and a gracious and a loving Heavenly Father. But he's also a jealous God. And he won't allow you to look at something else. And God says to you this morning, God says, you better look at me. You better behold me. Behold me. Look at me. Look at me in every aspect that I am. Look at me in every part that I am. I am your great high priest. Look at me. Hebrews chapter 12, the Scripture says that we need to run the race that is set before us. Run with patience the race that is set before us. You're familiar with that in Hebrews chapter 12? Run that race with patience. Run with patience the race that is set before you. Do you know how you can run that race? Do you know the only way you can run that race that's set before you? The next verse says, looking unto Jesus. You can't run the race without looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And closing, I want you to turn to 1 John, and we'll close. Just before Jude and Revelation, right at the end of the New Testament, 1 John chapter 3, talking about beholding the Lord. Did you know that's the best thing you can see in this world is the Lord? Are there some people you really like to see? I like to see y'all. But I'll tell you, there's somebody in this congregation I like to see. Well, there's a few people in this congregation I like to see better than others. Does that make sense to you? I like to see my wife. If I'm out visiting and doing things in the community and I see my wife, guess what I do? Zoom! I try to catch her. I just want to see her. Just want to talk to her a few minutes. Just want to speak to her. Or if I see my grandchildren or my children, I want to get to them. Listen, brother, you need to get close to God. If you love the Lord, you'll want to get close to Him and stay close to Him and see Him. You want to see Him every day. You get up in the morning, you want to say, Lord, I want to see You this morning. I need to see You as my God. I need to see You as my shepherd. I didn't touch on that. The Lord is my what? The Lord is my shepherd. Do you need to see the Lord as your shepherd every morning? Do you need to see the Lord in a bunch of other ways that I haven't gotten to yet? You need to see the Lord as He is. Listen now in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Listen carefully. I'm seeing God in a lot of ways in my life, day by day. But listen carefully. As long as I live in this world, I'm only seeing through a glass darkly. But one day, listen carefully, one day Jesus is coming back to this earth. And I'm going to see Him as He is. I might could name 15 different ways that you need to see Jesus this morning. But one day you're going to see Jesus like you've never seen Him before. One day Jesus is coming back to this earth. And this is real, folks. He's coming back. Look now at 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I'm a child of God. Now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. You want to tell me what heaven's like? You want to tell me what we're going to like be like in heaven? I'll tell you, you don't know what you're going to be like other than you're going to be like God. That's all you know. A lot of people think they know a lot more about heaven than they really do. The Scripture says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Oh, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Now, right now, I see Him in all these different aspects, but one day, I'm going to see Jesus as He is. I'm going to see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I'm going to see them, and all the family of God is going to see the Lord coming, and He's going to take us home to be with the Lord forever. I'm glad that one day I'm going to see Him face to face. Even though right now I get glimpses of Him and I rejoice in everything I see now, one day I'm going to rejoice more than I've ever rejoiced in this world. Because one day He's going to say to me, I believe He's going to say to me one day when I get to heaven, He's going to say the same thing He said in Isaiah 65:1. He's going to say, "Behold me. Look at me. Look at me now. You thought I was pretty before. Look at me now. You thought I was powerful before. Look at me now. You thought I was pure before. You didn't even know what pure was. Look at me now." May God help us to behold God every day is my prayer for Christ's sake.